Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a happy Thursday to you. Well, here is the question for you today. What does it look like when our faith and our health intersect? What happens when we engage our faith and we apply ourselves to taking care of our health? Well, we get healthy. That's what happens. Well, this is our monthly edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And I know it's one of your favorites because I hear from you all the time. We're so honored. Dr. Troy is a busy, busy guy. And yet he comes in once a month and offers 2 hours to answer your questions. So we're going to open the phone lines right off the bat. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. We'll take your questions, but I got to say at the outset, we can never get to all the questions, and we've got to kind of keep a flow to our conversation. And I know sometimes you get a little feisty, a little snarky if I can't get to your question. I just ask for your patience and your mercy, and we just trust that we're going to cover what we need to cover in this hour. A couple quick announcements first. A special welcome to those tuning in on one of our new signals. You can now hear Faith Radio on 1290 AM and Hartford, 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities, 104.7 FM in Madison, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, and for those streaming online, we've got friends listening from all over the world. It's so exciting to hear from you. If you're listening from outside our network in the Upper Midwest, email me and let me know where you're listening from. Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And if you want to ask a question to Dr. Troy, include that in your email. If you want in on the drawing, include your mailing address, and your name will go in a drawing for a book. I don't want to waste another moment, so let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively, conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and we've got a link to his clinic on our show page. We will by the end of the show. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always good to have you. Before I ask for your scripture, and I know you're an overachiever, much like myself, like I'm comparing us. Yeah, we're both overachievers, me and Dr. Troy. Anyway, but we sort of are.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
You came armed with your passage of scripture, but I want to. We've got an announcement we need to make today, and you'll hear this second hour, too, if you're going to listen in for both hours. But if you've listened often enough, you know that my family and I, we've walked through some pretty significant and hard times in the last year, some pretty significant heartbreak and loss. And if you're curious about that, read the last chapter of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, because I lay it out there. I first saw Dr. Troy last winter, so it's been almost a year now so that we've been connecting. You've helped me so much. And something you've been saying for months is you're not going to get better without a concentrated time of rest. And I've tried and tried so hard to just, you know, come in late, which my bosses have approved, and it's not working for me. It turns out you're right. And so I'm starting tomorrow, going on a 5-week medical leave to get some concentrated rest. And I'm going to miss you so bad. But it's something I have to do. It's not something that's a great idea for a live radio program, but it's what I have to do. And I would love, if you wouldn't mind, Dr. Troy, just to speak to the importance of a time like this when you're dealing with some of the things I'm dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. I want to apologize to everyone for taking her away for you guys for a little while. But she's going to come back stronger. And the reality is the body is very much defined by our mental, chemical, and physical well-being. And our intentions sometimes don't line up with our capabilities as far as just holding things functionally together. And Susie, you are definitely someone I call a servant leader. You're in service to others, and you put yourself out there, and you do with the heart to help others. And people get that. People listening will understand that. The one reality is, though, that people who are in service and support and support and support, we talked about this actually last month, when you support, there's a point where you can get to the point of self-sacrificing. And the reality is, for you to do what you're meant to do for everyone much, much beyond just today, you need the best of you around. And our body needs time to recuperate. When biblically we know when we fast, that's recuperation. And we are meant to fast from our food, but also our lifestyle right now. And back in the day when Jesus was walking through the deserts, those journeys, we read about it in the Bible like it was a moment. But the reality is that was weeks and months, and they walked and talked with each other, and they reflected, and they got alone time to pray and walk. And we don't get that nowadays. And the reality is there's healing behind that. When you connect with God and you don't have the lifestyle all around us, there's healing in that. And I want other people to learn from that. Just taking this courageous step for you, I think your priorities are in alignment, and I think you're doing a great job, and you will help many, many people for years to come by doing this for yourself and for them.
Wow, I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. And one of my favorite devotionals is Streams in the Desert. And, you know, I couldn't get through this morning when I read it. And maybe it's for you today. And it says, stand firmly in the place where your dear Lord has put you and do your best there. God sends us trials or tests and places life before us as a face-to-face opponent. It is through the pounding of a serious conflict that he expects us to grow strong. The tree planted where the fierce winds twist its branches and bend its trunk, often nearly to the point of breaking, is commonly more firmly rooted than a tree growing in a secluded valley where storms never bring any stress or strain. The same is true of human life. The strongest and greatest character is grown through hardship. And I read that just because there's been times in the last year I've begged God for mercy. I want out of this struggle. I want it to get easier. But it's not been the case, and it's not going to happen. And I just think it's not going to happen because what we sow is what we grow. I mean, God is saying, you're going to rest. There's no way around it. And I think the storm is making me stronger, but the rest is definitely going to make me stronger. So thank you so much for the way that you've helped and just even for explaining it like that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So I appreciate your prayers in the weeks to come. Bill will be hosting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday live, and you'll hear previously aired programs from me on Mondays and Fridays. Just really appreciate your prayers. Now, onward to the show. So, Dr. Troy, you came armed with a passage of Scripture. Which one is it today?
Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow, that's fantastic. Unpack it a bit, if you would.
Well, for me, there's many levels to this because a lot of times when we're in the pit, when we're in the valley, when we're in the darkness, we don't feel that hope. And many, many times, people, it's very, very not strange. I'm not going to use the word strange, but it's interesting to me how when people come in and they're suffering and we've found something. We haven't even done anything yet other than identify a possible solution. They many times say to me, is it weird that I already feel a little better?
Mm.
And we haven't done anything yet. That's hope.
Yeah. Wow.
And so
very
hope
good.
Is very, very much connected to healing and health. And we live in such a time right now where we need hope with everything. We're bombarded daily with a lot of negativity, a lot of stressors. And hope is a gift. Hope is healing. And from this passage, when Paul was talking about that, that's what he was doing for the people who are being persecuted, for the people who are going through their trials as they're trying to learn how to be Christians. He was offering them hope, that God is a God of hope. And I want everyone out there to experience hope. The people that are suffering, just know that there is an answer to every single problem out there. Individuals like myself or Susie or other doctors may not have the exact answer for you, but someone does somewhere through God will work through them and you will get your answer. And so I want you to know that that hope is there for you. It's for everyone. And when you have it, it is the seed that if you water, you start to go on a journey and a process to that healing.
Boy. I don't remember which movie it is. My daughter-in-law is in studio, and she's made me promise not to get her on the air. But just give me a nod if I'm right. Is it Lord of the Rings? There's a, I think it's a king, and he's just crippled up, and he's just sick. She see? Yes, nod. Stop twice for the second one. And he's like sitting, and he's all, you know, old. He looks old and crippled. And this other leader starts speaking truth to him, and he realizes he had bought into a whole ton of lies. And he thought himself sick and decrepit and old. And I'm probably butchering that part of the story, but I'm not. That thing has come back to me again and again. I mean, Scripture says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Before we get to some of these questions, say a word about that whole idea of, I mean, no matter what we're dealing with, even if you have a terminal prognosis, your thought life matters. I mean, it never doesn't matter, right? I mean, how we think plays huge into our healing process.
Yeah, 100%. And specifically now, we actually can measure it. We're much more advanced in the healthcare world. We can actually measure the different functions of brain, how it communicates with our body. But there are very specific areas of the brain that that filter our thoughts and have physical manifestations. So my favorite area of the brain, the basal ganglia, sets the tone. Don't forget. People, I have to say this too, because I say that when I lecture and talk everywhere. And my favorite thing is just walking around somewhere and hearing someone shout basal ganglia.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I've been in New York City.
If you could see him, he perks up when he says those words. He like sits up straighter. But anyway.
Yes, that's true. I was in downtown New York City and someone yelled across the Times Square, basal ganglia. It was like one of my highlights. So.
Love language for
yes.
Dr. Troy.
You got it.
Anyway.
But the basal ganglia sets the tone for muscles and emotions. And the reason why when we have stress, our muscle tone increases, gets tighter. So and stress can be anything from negative thoughts to just excessive amounts of stress, of thoughts, I should say. And so you can even be thinking about good things, but if you're overthinking, thinking, that's still stressing the brain. So think of it like a weight. If you go to the gym and there's just a really heavy weight, that could be an emotional traumatic event, and that can be too much for your muscles. If you go in and you've got a little 2-pound weight, but you just are flexing it back and forth for 3 hours straight, your arm is still going to be just as sore and tired. The brain is the same way. If you don't give your brain a break, it's going to become overused, and it's going to have physical consequences. And so the very, very cool thing for me is learning about this in the scientific medical world and then going back and rereading the Bible and saying, oh my gosh, there's the truth right there.
Wow.
2,000 years ago, and we're just discovering it, thinking we know this stuff now. But it's true. We see it written out for us. And so we can actually measure it, and there are changes to your hormones. There are changes to your digestive system, how we absorb foods. We know clinically that cancer survivors who have a positive attitude, positive outlook on life have a greater chance of surviving when everything else is equal. So we see it across the board with research even now.
Wow, it's amazing. Okay, we're going to pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about chronic bladder infections. That's a question from a listener. Perpetual kidney stones. We're even going to squeeze in. I'm just going to give Dr. Troy some time to cast a vision. He's a man with a vision that's bigger than he is, and that's the only kind of vision to have. But his vision for the healthcare system, I just want him to dream a little bit and just share, and I would love to know your thoughts. And please throw in the basil thing, too, because I know that will make you happy. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH, toll-free number, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we'll be back in a moment.
No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We'll take your questions. You got health questions, questions about supplements. Oh, I have so many questions for him if you don't have any. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Rachel writes in and asks if you have a recommendation for a quality probiotic. She said she's heard refrigerated is better. She assumes that they vary in quality as well. And what do you say?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of variety here, and so we're seeing more and more. So the biggest deal, though, is that we need to have live strain. And so there used to be a time where refrigerated was better. That's actually not as true anymore, just because of advances in how they prepare and bring it to market. So we just need to know that they're guaranteed live strain. And so that's the biggest.
And would it say that on the label?
Most of them do say that in the label, not all of them. I personally use multiple different brands for probiotics because there's different strains and there's so many different varieties. And so I try and mix it up quite a bit. And at the same time, I really encourage people to add fermented food to their diet along with the probiotics. There is a phenomenal book out there called Nourishing Traditions. And it talks about the traditions of our food, where it comes from, and the history behind it. And it, and the recipes that are in it also talk about the history of the food. So it's such a great book. And fermented food and the fermenting process is part of that book as well. So a lot of people will actually ferment their own, and you get so many good probiotics from that.
Give me an example of fermented food.
My favorite, which is probably not everyone's, is sauerkraut.
Wow.
Kimchi, pickles
are
fermented. It's the bacteria. So the probiotics that you have in capsules and stuff, that is what's on the food when you eat fermented food. So sauerkraut has all that good bacteria in it.
Wow.
And it's in the juices and stuff too. And so you can make your own fermented food and get those probiotics right from that. And pickles are the same thing. Pickles are fermented cucumbers basically, but many of the processing of how they make pickles will take the good bacteria out of it. So when you do your own or you get live culture fermented food like kimchi, then it's actually still there.
So wow, interesting.
Yeah, kefir is another one. That's basically fermented dairy. Kefir is great.
Wow, and even though you say typically people should stay away from dairy, that in that form it's okay?
Well, the only reason why I say people should stay away from dairy is because dairy has been altered. So generally speaking, dairy is good for us. We're meant to consume dairy. And when we change a food, our immune system, when it becomes overloaded, overwhelmed, is more likely to attack stuff it doesn't recognize. So when you change it from what it used to be, it can start to attack the dairy. So dairy, there's a large number of people who actually are reactive to dairy, but there is also a lot of people who react to dairy, but once you clean out your system, they can start to add in raw dairy cheeses and things like kefir and not have any reactions.
Oh, interesting. Okay, what does Dr. Troy recommend to help heal endometriosis infertility?
Endometriosis and infertility
combined?
It's a slash,
so I'm wondering okay. If it's both.
Yeah. So I can answer that for both. So endometriosis is it's an inflammatory condition that you have to take multiple things into consideration. Almost always you're dealing with an estrogen imbalance, estrogen dominance. Very, very commonly it comes from environmental chemicals, plastics, and chemicals that leach into our environment. And unfortunately, the reality is we are exposed to 1,100 new chemicals every year that the FDA can't even assess. So we don't even know. Right now, the total list is around 85,000 chemicals, and the FDA is managing 5 of them right now as far as being banned and what they do to us. So there's a large number of them that are that affect us, and you know, serious ones like DDT back in the 50s and 60s, they know are severe cancer causes. Endometriosis is one of those disorders where we know that there's some imbalances there in the hormone world, whether it be actual estrogen dominance itself from estrogens from hormones given to cattle or to other animals, and then we consume them, or chemicals from our environment that leach out from manufacturing facilities or from plastics, and they now have safe plastics. There's a lot going into that. But we're exposed quite a bit. So you have to keep working on supporting the systems that pull these chemicals and toxins out, and that's the liver system, the bile system, and doing estrogen cleanses, things like that, eating real clean, anti-inflammatory, balancing your blood sugar is also important. Insulin resistance seems to be part of it. and healing the lining of these sensitive tissues, the tissues around the uterus, around the intestines. That requires antioxidants that come from fruits and vegetables. In particular, there's a tremendous one. Grapeseed extract helps with the fine lining, the lungs, the heart, the intestines, and the uterus in women, not men. Mm-hmm. they do okay with the uterine lining. Protecting those areas are very, very important, anti-inflammatory. So fruits and vegetables become very, very important, but you have to be balancing the blood sugar at the same time and making sure the hormones are very much balanced. Then you've got a shot at doing things naturally with it. We do see also other areas that affect our immune system, heavy metals, stress, and chronic structural inflammatory disorders can really apply as well, as far as impacting both the endometriosis and then for fertility. We do see stress play into that quite a bit as well, because the lining of the uterus is very, very important for fertility. So if everything's working as far as making the eggs properly and you can get pregnant but can't maintain it, that's generally the same. It falls exactly in the same conversation as endometriosis as far as what you have to fix. If estrogen is dominating, it's inhibiting progesterone. Progesterone literally stands for progestation, pro-pregnancy. So that's the hormone that starts to take over. But if it's being inhibited, it can't take over, and so you can't maintain a pregnancy. And there are very specific vitamins that become depleted when your liver system is depleted secondary to hormone and chemical imbalances. Folic acid's one of them, a lot of the B vitamins. So getting these methylators or these liver nutrients back up helps quite a bit.
So we've got about a minute and a half before we go to our hard break here, Dr. Troy. For somebody who's estrogen dominant, is the primary cause then of chemicals and stress? Are there other things that make somebody dominant in that regard?
Primary is chemical stress. And I would say we're also putting our young teenage girls on estrogen much, much earlier in life. And we're exposed to more estrogens than we ever used to be. I actually am treating more teenage boys for something called gynecomastia. It's breast development because of the amount of estrogens in our environment.
Wow.
Yeah. And we do a simple cleanse to pull the estrogens out of their body through the liver with natural foods and supplements.
And you're
it helps
success?
Correct. Oh, yeah. 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 Wow. We see the changes.
Wow. Yep. We're pausing here. When we come back, we're going to get to kidney stones, bladder infections, another question about phobias. And let's see here. How can a college student cope with rigorous schedule and getting barely any sleep for night after night, resorting to caffeine, staying awake, sleeping pills to go to bed? I think you need a 5-week break like me. More with Dr. Troy when we return.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. So honored to have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. He joins us every month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Something you said at the beginning of the show, I want to revisit in case you just tuned in and you didn't hear his open. But the idea that there is an answer for you. If you're struggling in health, there's an answer for you. And I thought it was so interesting several months ago when you were on and you were saying there's times where you are getting ready in the morning and you're in the shower and you're praying about one of your patients and God just drops a truth bomb and an insight and suddenly you have clarity about something. I wish every doctor would approach their patients that way, for one thing. But the fact is that there's an answer, that God will bring clarity. And if we need to hope. We need to have hope. There's always hope, right?
Yes, there always is.
Yeah.
And I wish it was very linear where it came each and every time like that.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I just, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, man, I must need a lot of help because I pray a lot every morning. So I don't have a lot of answers, but,
no, that's
but pray
fantastic.
About it a lot
care.
All the time.
Yeah,
fantastic. 100%. Yeah.
And, you know, because that there's an answer and maybe you get an answer, but you put your fingers in your ears and you start singing, you know, the Star Spangled Banner or something because you don't want to hear like, but there's times you're going to hear something and you're going to have to do it. And you can dance around it all day long. Like I did. I didn't think it would be feasible for me to take that kind of time off, but it got to the point where I had to take the time off. Right. And,
yes.
And I'm just bringing that up because this college student called in and said, how does a college student cope with a rigorous schedule, getting barely any sleep night after night, resorting to caffeine and sleeping pills? Caffeine to stay awake, sleeping pills to go to bed. What say you, Dr. Troy?
Well, that is the exact recipe for needing a 5-week leave of absence. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about our lifestyle. And unfortunately, that's what we do. And the college years really do set that up. And then I did the same thing. So I want the college really know that they're not doing thing that's out of the norm compared to everyone else, but our norm right now is disease causing.
Hmm.
And so when you have to take something to trigger your energy processes artificially and then something to slow it down at night, that eventually runs out. And that what eventually causes the adrenal stress. So eventually, what I eventually learned to do was make sure I got my sleep. If I wasn't getting my sleep, then there'd be trouble. So you wanna shut things down. And the reality is, you just have to be as prepared as possible and be okay with getting the recovery. Because I don't know if the students might recognize this, but sometimes you get to a point where you're studying where it's just not sinking in.
Right.
It's just you're just going in and out, you're just wasting your time. And then you get some sleep, and the next morning you spend 5 minutes doing what was taking an hour the night before. And so we want you to really have some foresight about how to set up your schedule that way where you can give yourself some slack. And first things first, you've got to take care of yourself. So if your schedule is that demanding, then you've got to clean things up as much as possible, not eating junk food, sugar, getting off the artificial stuff. I recommend exercise and other healthy tactics to staying awake. And if your body is saying it's tired, needs to go to sleep, then you go to sleep.
Mm.
And trying not to manage it with coffee and a lot of people do that. Coffee in the morning, a glass of wine at night is how they wind up and shut down. And I'm telling you definitively, there will be a consequence to that eventually.
There'll be a consequence eventually. And that's why it's so important, because it's a get through the moment mindset. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a story about Esau. He gives up his birthright for a bowl of soup. And I return to that analogy again and again. How many times we give up the bigger picture, this fruitful, sustainable picture, to get through the moment. I just need this to get through the moment. But any get through the moment proposition moves us backwards, doesn't it?
Always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. So you received a question about Crohn's.
Yes.
I was going to, anyway. What do you say? What was the question and how would you answer?
Well, the question is, what can we do about Crohn's disease? Because a lot of people have been diagnosed with Crohn's, they're stuck. And I wanted to explain this a little bit because a lot of people out there don't understand Crohn's. It's an inflammatory bowel disorder. And I was speaking with a young lady this afternoon and told her I'd be mentioning it as well. So this is something that's actually close to my heart because my mother was diagnosed with Crohn's. Mm. It's the first disorder I worked on when I was going through school to try and help her out. She was 2 years into it. And we were able to save her digestive system, and she's no longer diagnosed with Crohn's.
Wow.
But there were other complications that came from the medications and the other stuff that she was on and a lot of other health-related concerns. And Crohn's is an inflammatory bowel disease where the immune system is very much involved, and there are a lot of things you can do with diet and lifestyle to start to change that scenario. But for many people suffering with Crohn's, stress can become an instant trigger, but also healthy foods like raw fruits and vegetables can be a trigger as well. So many of these people with Crohn's eat things that aren't the healthiest because they don't have the flare-up like they do with healthy foods. So I want to explain a little bit. When someone has an inflammatory bowel, it's kind of like if you go out and get a bad sunburn. And so that's what inflammation is. That's what it feels like. Red skin, bad sunburn, tender to the touch. Raw fruits and vegetables have fiber in it. Their fiber's job is to rub up against the colon and the intestines to clean it. So everyone here who's had a massage knows it can be nice and relaxing. But now picture yourself with that severe sunburn and go and get that relaxing massage, and it's completely the exact opposite. That's Crohn's. That's inflammatory bowel. You have inflammation and the fiber rubs up against it. So they have to avoid the foods that are very healthy for them that actually are part of the healing process.
Wow.
So it's a very tricky scenario. And I want people who, particularly with Crohn's, to know that there's a tremendous amount of work you can do. It is a process, but you can do a lot by helping to reestablish the immune system. And there's two different roads here. In traditional, the medical model, they'll use anti-inflammatories or immune suppressants to help with the Crohn's, and then bowel surgeries when it's really bad. And in functional medicine, they go down the track of helping the part of the immune system that regulates the inflammatory process and regulates the autoimmune process. And there's a lot of success in that world. And there's more and more research starting to come out. And so, again, I want to give hope to the people with Crohn's to know that although it's a process, in functional medicine, when you manage the eight factors that influence the inflammatory and autoimmune systems, things like hormone balance and bacteria, viruses, food allergies, estrogen dominance, environmental toxicities, and one of the big ones, vitamin D polymorphisms, which means vitamin D imbalances where they can't absorb the vitamin D from the sun as effectively, and therefore that's the main protectant of the lining of your intestinal tract, if you will. So when that starts to drop, you become susceptible, and it doesn't take much, a viral exposure, a high stressful incident to trigger that type of reaction.
Because you're living right on the edge of the margin. If you can't eat like raw vegetables, is there a way to you know, take them in capsule form, or would that still create the abrasion?
No, that's a great question. As long as there isn't the fiber in there, you can break them down. So you can even cook them down. So you lose a lot of the nutrients when you do that. And when you take fiber out of the equation, one of the brilliant things that God did is that in fruit and vegetables, he attached all the sugars that we need, the healthy sugars, to the fiber. So the fiber gets broken down really slowly. So it's almost like a natural time delay as it goes through our intestinal tract of when it releases the sugar.
Man.
So we have sustained energy for hours when we eat fruit and vegetables. When you drink a cup of Kool-Aid and it's just pure sugar, it all gets into the first part of the intestinal tract and gets absorbed right away. So you get the sugar rush. If you want to see what that looks like, just give Kool-Aid to a child, a five-year-old, and you'll understand.
Yeah.
Vegetables release the sugars throughout a slower process because the fiber slowly breaks down and then it releases the sugar. It's a beautiful system.
Man, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk for a moment about chronic bladder infections. I was at an event and I spoke with this other keynote gal, and she said that because of stress, I think her mom had died, and she had a few other factors, really painful things. She had 21 UTIs or urinary tract infections in the course of like 10 months, and doctors just said stress.
Well, yeah, it could be actually. Mm. Yeah, definitely. With the chronic, the only way the bladder infections keep coming back is the environment has to be ripe for that. So it's kind of like if you're trying to plant a garden, you wouldn't throw the seeds on a cement parking lot because it just wouldn't grow. So for bad bacteria to grow, there has to be an environment for that. So the bladder's not emptying properly. So that can be a neurologic thing, which stress is a part of. It also can be a structural thing. Many times our bladder is a muscle, and if it's not exercised properly or if there's other things around it that are putting weight on it, it can actually cause problems. One of the hidden causes of bladder infections is uterine fibroids, because these fibroids develop in the uterus, and the weight of that goes forward and starts to put a little pressure on the bladder or pinches off a section of it. Either way, it sets up more of an environment where fluids can pool instead of getting rid of them, and you get the infections. There are also many other pH, acid alkaline causes of that. Generally speaking, if you get a more of a complete picture, how's their digestive system, good bacteria, bad bacteria, how's their immune system, how's their circulation? Because the only way for the immune system to get there to protect it is for your circulation to be doing well to get it there. So there's a lot of pelvic floor and instability issues that can cause that. But we do see that. And hormone dysfunction can also play a role with that. So you just have to discern which one of those it is.
So hormone dysfunction seems to come up a lot for women, just exposure, chemicals, all kinds of things. How does a person discern if they've got a massive hormone imbalance?
Well, lab testing really does help out. And traditionally, they'll use blood tests, but that's a spot in time. So when you do the timed blood test, 24 hours, the longer collection rates, that gives you a bigger picture of how your hormones are doing, but then also saliva hormones are gaining much more credibility in the traditional world, and they've been used in functional medicine for long periods of time to understand where your hormone levels are at. Because traditionally, when you get a cortisol level, they're really looking for, do you have an active disease process? But when you get a saliva level, they're looking for, is there dysfunction there? And so they're really having two different conversations, and they're looking at it completely different. So if you have symptoms, the saliva is quite a bit better. If you're looking for a really acute, dangerous event, then the traditional lab testing will work for that.
Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about perpetual kidney stones. And then Wendy asks, what are some of the best calcium supplements that don't, that don't cause calcium buildup? And a few other questions as well. Keep them coming, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email at Susie@myfaithradio.com. And Tamara, I see your question as well. We'll get to that one in just a moment. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have Dr. Troy in studio with us. We have him on every month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Got lots of questions coming in. We welcome yours as well. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. That's a toll-free call or email. Susie@myfaithradio.com. So, Dr. Troy, I have a friend, quote, no, this really isn't for me, but someone I love in my family who deals perpetually, consistently with recurring kidney stones. And she's tried everything, and she feels like she's tried everything, and she doesn't know what to do.
Well, kidney stones can be pretty challenging, but there's some mineral imbalances, and some people just don't do well with their kidneys being able to make the exchange properly. And so there's a lot of factors. Don't know what she's done or not done, but the pH of our system is very important, meaning are you using the calcium that you're supposed to be using? Are you acidic, not acidic? And calcium is not the only thing that helps create with the actual stones. And so usually for me, when we approach things from a mental, chemical, and physical component, the mental component that's associated with this is one of fear. So it's a fear of moving forward, fear of something if that's involved. If the emotional component is not involved, the chemical side of it is, which is the most common, is an alkaline acidity type of equation. And some people who have, funny enough, stomach problems where you don't have the absorption properly balanced, and it has to do with hydrochloric acid. So if this person has had GERD or acid reflux, then that tells us one thing. If they don't have any digestive symptoms up there, then we have to look at, are they absorbing the calcium effectively and positively? And the third thing is the actual environment in the lymph system can impact the kidney stones quite a bit. So food sensitivities, infections, other scenarios where the minerals themselves are not being used metabolically can do it. So it is for chronicity, it's one of those things you have to look at what might be setting that up. The food allergy is the most common one we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. is dairy. That's the one that goes with the kidney stones more than not. And supporting the this process means cleaning up the diet. If it's female, if they're female, almost always we see that there's a magnesium deficiency, and that can help set up part of the problem. So magnesium, potassium, it's important to start to, and sodium. Those are the three.
You want present in your diet.
Yeah, and it's all about the ratio. So a lot of times the ratios are not there. So if the stomach's working properly and they're absorbing the calcium effectively and the magnesium's balanced and the sodium potassium are balanced, then that gives you a good start as far as helping that. Now, with stress, we start to see changes in sodium. So stress can really impact the changes in sodium, which then leads to the imbalance with the calcium and the kidney stones. So, and the stressor is fear usually. So, and it can be fear of failure, fear of conflict, fear of letting people down, fear of not measuring up, fear of the unknown, even fear of success. We have people that have challenges with that.
So would you do one of those neurological resets? Let's say you were seeing somebody who had perpetual kidney stones. Would you do one of your clearings resets?
Yeah, we would check it to see if it's there. If it's not there or relevant, then we wouldn't do anything with it, and we'd move more in the chemical direction.
Okay, so for those who don't know what I'm talking about, we've got probably 8 minutes before we get up this hour. Maybe explain the clearing and just I don't know if you would describe it as a post-traumatic stress, but there's old tapes and old communication that continue to communicate.
It is kind of like post-traumatic stress. We're all walking around with mild forms of post-traumatic stress. We hang on to certain emotions and memories that we may not even know are there. So as we have experiences and emotionally challenging experiences, if we may have time to address them and we may not. What we found is many people are walking around and they're getting triggered and they don't know it. So we talked earlier about the basal ganglia and setting the tone for muscles and emotions. When you have a stressor, that some of us will take it on and there's a physical reaction. But let me give you an example. You could be in high school and dating a gentleman by the name of John, and he breaks your heart. And so just the word John, you're going to have these subconscious memories of all your experiences about John, the good and the bad. But the end ultimate emotion is one of negativity because of how it ended. And then 20 years later, you might go to work and be working with a John, and you just don't click with this John. It has nothing to do with the previous John. You don't even consciously remember the old ex-boyfriend. And you'll notice that you just trip over your words, that you're not your normally confident self around this individual, and you don't know why. It's because that area of the brain, it sets the tone for muscles and emotions. Your muscles don't work. Your tongue is a muscle, but your muscles don't work as effectively. And so what's happening is we measured that when people say the word John, their muscles will weaken. We'll see an actual physiologic reaction. And we tested multiple people, and everyone had at least one. The most common trigger word we found was the word money. It was by far the most common. And the word no is also up there, which tells us that when we are 3 years old and we ask for the candy and we hear no and we have an emotional fit to that, there's consequences to that later on too. So that's all a lot of people pleasing, where that comes from, because we get triggered by the word no, so we say yes.
Wow. And for me, just to be, totally honest, one that you brought up for me was fear of letting people down. And all my strength went. You do this muscle testing and you said, say this. And I said it. And I just, and so we've got about 5 minutes. Can you explain the clearing process for a person who's, let's say they're in your office, you've tested them on one of these things, money, on John or whatever, and suddenly they're triggered and they lose their strength. What do you do to help reset that process?
Well, within us is God made us in such a way where we innately know how to heal. So that's the beautiful thing. When you're a child and you cut yourself, even as an adult, you cut yourself, you don't have to tell your immune system to go heal it. The body knows how innately to go, set everything in motion to heal that. So what we do is when we've identified an emotional stressor, we use a muscle because that's an indicator. And when you touch the muscle that we've just used, the conscious part of the brain, the sensory part, is aware of that area of the body. Then we stimulate some nerves in between the ribs that fire to our brainstem. Our brainstem is like the emergency center of our body. It regulates our heart, our lungs, the stuff that keeps us alive, our digestive system. So when you exercise that area of the brain or stimulate it, it's kind of like putting an emergency stamp on things. And then we use some eye movements to activate and exercise the area of the brain that deals with muscle memory, all memory actually, emotional and muscle memory. We move the eyes up to the right, down to the left. And the analogy I always use is if you look at police officers, when they stop people on the side of the road and they check them to see if they've been drinking alcohol, they may have them follow their finger with their eyes or walk a straight line because alcohol affects the cerebellum, the area of the brain that deals with muscle memory. And so if you drink too much alcohol, you literally lose the ability to remember how to walk or talk. That's why we stumble and slur. Well, not we. That's why the people are drinking too much. Stumble and slur.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so when the exact opposite is true, when you exercise the conscious part of the brain, the sensory part, the muscle memory part, and the brain stem, emergency part, those three areas start communicating with each other, and instantly we see a change in how it's now regulating that muscle and that emotion. Mm. And so that's why what used to take us days and weeks therapeutically, we can do instantly when we actually connect the same area of the brain. And I think it was the first time I was on the show, I relayed the story of the soldier who had the locked-in syndrome, hadn't moved properly in 2 years. And when we activated those three areas of the brain at the same time, he got up and clapped his hands and was able to start moving. And that's what led to what we now use and affectionately call the clearings to help that area of the brain.
It's absolutely fascinating. I'm just keeping an eye on the clock. We've got about 2.5 minutes here before we're out for this hour. So you've got loads of people walking around with these triggers and these weaknesses that are not addressed. So what is the ripple effect to our health, our emotional health, even our relationships? If we've got this muscle memory or this communication that's sort of stuck, what's the ripple effect?
The stress. It's a miracle that we actually are getting along as well as we are, to be quite honest. It is a miracle because when you realize how much imperfection and dysfunction is actually out there, it actually takes work to counteract that because we're getting triggered on a daily basis. Now, I will say that applying your faith will also help take care of it in many, many ways. So a lot of the truths that come from that is surrendering and forgiveness. All of that still has the potential to address these areas. But part of the problem is we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the issue or the scenario. And sometimes it's a physical thing, too, where people have an emotionally or physically traumatic event and the muscle memory still perceives that trauma, like it's happening. So it'll actually shut down your muscles when it comes to exercise. There are many people who just don't like to exercise. They don't get the positive benefit of exercise. And almost all these people have this scenario where their brain is shutting down their muscles because they perceive it as a negative thing, not a positive thing. And so they feel more tired after exercise versus feeling uplifted and get the boost. So very, very common for that part of it as well.
You know, it's just a fascinating thing. I mean, you know, I've been very honest about some of the process that I've walked through with Dr. Troy, but, you know, months and months ago when I had that really massive breakthrough around feeling bad for being sick. And after you did that clearing and I was on my way to getting a chest cold and I got a chest cold, but I had joy about it. I not joy, like amidst it. I didn't feel bad for feeling bad is what I'm saying. And that wasn't instinctive. It was instinctive, but it wasn't something I had to talk myself into. That's what
no,
I'm trying to say.
No, it was reflexive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. It's absolutely amazing. We've got a number of other questions coming in. We've got another full hour up with Dr. Troy. Keep the questions coming. If you're too shy to get on the air, it looks like lots of you are. That's okay. Call in and let Aaron know your question, and we'll translate it. We hope to get to all of these that are on the board right now next hour. 877-933-2484 or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a moment.